acres. So that one can have a fee.
I wish we can, as members of the portfolio committee, dedicate time for this very important work that is given to us by Parliament. I know members are very serious about it, but this is a special one that we are going to deal with. We are going to go through the people who have applied, and out of them say these are the best who can sit for interviews. And that process needs all of us, so that we don't have people coming and going, replaced by others, and all of that. So it will be very helpful, members, so that we can focus on this way. I know you. I don't doubt you that you will cooperate. But under difficult circumstances, will allow that people do other things. I'm worried that EFF is not here. If now I can talk about where we come from, I'm worried about COPE is not here. Well, those are consistent parties in this committee. I'm also worried that PAC is not here. So if we can have that team from today until we finish the interviews, it will be very, very helpful. But what we are going to do today, we are going to start saying what will be the process. What documents are we going to use as this team when the time of interviews come, even guiding us during the selection process. So the office has prepared something that will say these are the reference documents that we'll use as a guide. That is why we have people like content advisor in the committee. Those were part of the ad hoc committee. You'll recall how the process was handled in terms of, if you like, the roadmap towards the entire assignment given to them. So we wanted to ready members on those issues. Even if it's not today, you go back and look at the documents. I was asking if members do have the MOI. Well, that's one document that before the ad hoc committee was so underground, if I can put it that way. Very secret document. We never laid our eyes on that one until all those things were uncovered. That document, all of us do have the Broadcasting Act and all other documents. So those are the things that we are going to use as we prepare. Last time we were debating as to whether we need questions or we just allow members to have on the basis of these documents to have their own approach in, when they interview. Remember, this will be live, and therefore it's very important for us to be very focused and be very knowledgeable about the documents that are guiding us. Because if we appear not to be knowledgeable of these documents, then we are in problem. Having said that, members, I will welcome I don't want to call you by your party, but I wanted to know the name, but I know you're from the Merwe, but I always like to call people by their name. Lisa? Yes. Welcome. Members, you know her. She's from IFP. Apologies. Honorable Van Dijk is not well. I was very worried when I saw her on the 8th. You know, that the 8th, you know, people come from hospital to vote. I was very worried when I saw her with all those things from hospital. But she's not well until further notice. Mr. Madisha, he's attending to urgent matter. Maybe this one is not urgent. That's why I'm very skeptical for an apology like this to a meeting. We better state reasons, proper reasons, not to say urgent matters. This is a very urgent matter. The other apology that I see here is from the Deputy Minister Mohammed Salah. Is on study leave. Apart from those, there are no other apologies. Members must understand that the process will flow until 1 o'clock. We break for lunch, and then we come back at 2, depending on how far we go in terms of what we're going to do this morning. Members, those are the apologies. Any comment on that? Honourable Fundamental?
Chairperson, I just wanted to indicate that as an alternate to this committee, I understand that I'm not supposed to be part of the deliberations in terms of shortlisting, but I've got a call from the Honourable Carter, who is the chief whip of the Honourable Madisha. So I'm standing in for him just for now, but I will give him the message that he was missed by the committee. And then unfortunately, I will have to depart at 1 o'clock because I'm going to the ethics committee. I was roped in at the last moment. So I just wanted to apologize that you've got my face instead of Honorable Madisha.
No stress. Honorable Pumzile Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to introduce my colleague, Gavin Davis, who will be replacing Veronica Van Dijk while she was.
Okay. I've already welcomed him. Welcome. Was there any other hand? Yes, ma'am.
Sure, I want to report my apologies. Now, because I want to go further after 1 o'clock, I'm just myself. I will not go ahead after 1 o'clock.
Any other hand? Okay, we're going to proceed, whether we go beyond 1 o'clock, or we break at one, all what I want to say, if we covered the distance, members, we're not going back to that process that we've covered, whether a member is present or not. So please don't take us back. So this process is about shortlisting, and you come after two and say, no, there is this other person. Know that trainee Hamba, mind Lulile's dish in Lulile. We are not coming back to that. Can I now allow the content advisor just to take us through what he has prepared?
Hello, Chair. Hello, members. Thank you for the opportunity. This is the work of the background team that supports the opposition. It's going to be a short presentation, but we thought that perhaps just to ensure that members in consent that in terms of the process that should be followed. The first part really is just the intent, really, to say that this is to assist the members in outlining the process for the appointment of the members, of course, taking into consideration the prescripts of the Broadcasting Act, number 4, 1999. Firstly, perhaps, is to take members through the overview, to say that on 5th October, it was this committee that resolved to institute an inquiry into the fitness of the Executive Board to hold office in terms of Section 15A of the Broadcasting Act. And subsequent to that resolution, on 3rd November, 2016, National Assembly established the Ad Hoc Committee to look into the fitness of the board. On February 14th, the Ad Hoc Committee, when it concluded, resolved that the FABC board must be dissolved and that an interim board be appointed by the National Assembly. This resolution, of course, was adopted 7th March 2017. And on 14th March 2017, the committee deliberated on the names, recommended that the National Assembly recommended names to the National Assembly for the appointment of an interim board as per the Act. And these were Mr. John Mason, Mr. Matata Tenu, Mrs. Phoebe Pasquitera Kobule, Mrs. Kanisile Koyama, and Mr. Krishna Gu. And then the committee proceeded then to advertise for the posts for the vacant SABC board members on 2nd June. And that advert closed on the 30th of June 2017 when we received about 363 nominations in total of the chairs. And a summary of the approach to this was then distributed to the members, as the Honourable Chair said, on the 4th of August, this last Friday, and the hard copies were sent to members' boxes this Monday, which was yesterday. There are a couple of imperatives that we thought perhaps we should run through. Firstly, is to say that the committee needs to adopt certain resolutions relating to the process. One is the shortlisting process, the second is the interview, and the third is the deliberation. Of course, today we begin with the process of the shortlisting. Under the shortlisting process, the main issue relates to for us would be to outline the purpose of the Broadcasting Act and the government legislation. The second is for the committee to resolve as to how many candidates will be shortlisted from the list of 360 something odd. The third is to deliberate on whether the nominee's list information is provided to the public, keeping in mind that the Broadcasting Act states that the names of the shortlisted candidates must be published. What we're talking about now is the entire full list of 360-something, because if members do recall, in the past we've had an instance where the list went out to the public, we don't know how, but it was the full list of the 368. Well, then, I don't know how many people were there in the previous one, but I think there needs to be some argument resolved by the committee to say whether this particular list that you're going to shortlist for would make public or not, taking into consideration, of course, what the broadcasting state in relation to the shortlisted candidate. And then it will be imperative also for the members to broadly discuss the criteria for key skills needed for the board nomination process. And then I think we are due to do both first and final round of shortlisting today, if time permits, for the papers. And then, of course, there needs to be the adoption of the progress report of the shortlisted candidates. During the interviews, it will be important that the members do some evaluation of the interview process in terms of post-interviews to say, is there anything that we can do better, seeing that we are still due to nominate members for the council as well as for the MDA board. And of course, members will be expected to present and motivate on the nominations and the recommendations that they have. And then there needs to be an adoption of the report recommending the candidates for appointment to serve in the SABC board. In terms of the resources that we really require, we thought that perhaps from the office of the chairperson that we would develop a schematic overview of areas of interest for member questions. So for instance, we just broadly outline the areas with which the members would then choose to question a candidate on. Of course, this is if the committee resolves so. The second is that the committee secretary will comment the security clearance process related to the shortlisted candidate, as well as the verification of candidate qualifications, those that are shortlisted. And the committee assistant will duly prepare travel logistics for the shortlisted candidates, members, and supporting staff during the interview process. Because we might be knocking off the list, for instance, at 9 o'clock during the interview. The last one was maybe to say that the committee should resolve probably today whether do we need to involve the HR Parliament, HR, for the process of the interview, because as we know, they do a whole lot of interviews, and we'll probably come with a systematic approach to how we score candidates for the papers. Needless to say that there's still a very big elephant in the room which we have not talked about, that is the broadcasting amendment bill, which I think will actually have direct bearing to a new board, and therefore the committee would at some point need to expedite the result of that particular bill. As per the section 13 of the Broadcasting Act number 4, 1999, the 12 non-executive members of the board must be appointed by the president on the advice of the National Assembly. The non-executive members of the board must be appointed in a manner that ensures participation by the public in the nomination process, which I think we've done it quite well. The transparency and openness, and I think this is part of the process of the transparency and openness. And lastly, that a short list of candidates for appointment is published, taking into account the object and principles of the Act. And this is what I was mentioning earlier. Number 3 of Section 13 says that the President must then designate one of the members of the board, referred to in subsection 2, as the chairperson and another member as the deputy chairperson, both of whom must be non-executive members of the board. So that's a prerogative of the president. In terms of the board when viewed collectively, the members should be persons who are suited to serve on the board by virtue of their qualifications, expertise and experience in the field of broadcasting policy and technology, broadcasting regulation, media law, business practice and finance, marketing, journalism, entertainment and education, social and labor issues. Secondly, must be persons who are committed to fairness, freedom of expression, the right of the public to be informed, as well as openness and accountability on the part of those holding public office. Furthermore, they must represent a broad cross-section of the population of the Republic. And lastly, must be the persons who are committed to the objects and principles as enunciated in the Charter of the Corporation. And I think this precept actually in the Broadcasting Act, which I do believe that a lot of members do have in their section 18. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's the end of the presentation. Can we? We also must take decisions on the process as proposed in the document. I will allow members to look at the document and point us to areas where they want to make a proposal. So I would look at that and then take a resolution. And I will fund that.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm largely happy with what has been put together there. I would suggest we do go ahead with the shortlisting, but I'm understanding that members still need to do a thorough review of CVs, and we need to do our own research, so we can compose names and then shortlist on that basis, but we will still do our own intensive research. I'd like to suggest that the shortlist be published on Parliament's website. In line with the Broadcasting Act, but also just to make sure that we conduct this process in the open, and we must also give the public and civil society the opportunity to comment on those candidates. This was the process that I've also followed with the public protector. Civil society organizations, they have resources that we don't have, so they can also assist us in making sure that we have full research. We don't have full information about all the candidates. So all CVs must be published on the website. We must give, for example, 5 working days to for the public or civil society or anyone interested to give comments. And then I'm happy with the content advisor giving us guidelines about questions, but I would like to suggest that the process we just be allowed to ask whatever question we want to ask and not be limited to a list or limited to specific to the list that's provided by the content advisors, we must just be able to ask whatever question we deem useful. Thank you.
I hope members are taken into so that we agree or not agree. One, we cannot shortlist today, is very clear. Why? Because we don't have the CVs yet. So I think let's agree that we'll receive the CVs. I don't know where they are. I don't have them myself. We'll receive the CVs, go through them. It can't take us a night. Go through them. I think let's agree that we won't do justice if we just go into shortlisting today. Agreed? Okay. Secondly, I think I hear the nod of approval in terms of receiving the CVs, going through them, and then we start shortlisting. We'll come with the dates, but it can't take long. I think I hear Honorable Van Damme says on the proposal of broad guidelines for questions, not necessarily questions, just to give a broad guideline, and then within that guideline, and even beyond, members can ask questions. I want to hear the, is that against Honorable Van Damme? I just want to work with you so that I know and it's recorded what we agree upon. We agree that we will receive CVs and we'll start shortlisting when we peruse them. Two, we agree that we'll develop broad guidelines for members to look at, and their questions be within that, but even beyond. Agreed? Okay. Honorable Van der Meer?
Mr. Chris, I think you've covered me. I just wanted to support the Honorable Van Damme in terms of the issue of questioning, because I think once there is a certain set of questions, I think it will disadvantage candidates who come later in the process, since it will be live. If members stick to a sort of a certain set of questions, those who come at the beginning and those who come at the end will be disadvantaged because it will be live on TV. And also, different people have got different skill sets, and you know, obviously those people will have to be questioned, you know, there'll be specific questions about a specific person. But I think I would like to agree that while there should be a broad, you know, indication of what should be asked, members should still be allowed to ask whatever questions they want to ask.
Okay, another Dolash, and then one other would say, do you not sure?
I thought that was obvious. That the guy that the type one the government to ask a specific question. I don't think there's anything on the inside. That should be enough. But I wanted us to also, if you're agreeing today, we might not conclude today. In the better planning as we move forward, we should also brought to the attention of the office the fact that the parliament should be aligned at a particular time. So line up your program with that GED so that you can be able to say if there will be need for us to see the whole day, then the consultation can organize that so that we are in line as far as the timing of rising of otherwise with the power of the net on the other issues, the issue of the HR I agree with the honourable member that the issue is transparent and public. There are people that we can find who might be might utilize this outside of the group, especially the in-house people. Let them be brought in. Because in different times they will advise us as members so that as we are moving on, we are quite clear of everything that we will maintain.
I think we agree on that one. On the proposal of the HR or experts from Parliament will assist us as well. Honourable Member?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for welcoming me here today. I've just got 2 points I'd like to make. The first one is I recall from when I previously served on this committee the trouble we had when we discovered that one of the SABC board members had falsified their qualifications. And that's basically the chairperson in the Shambhala. And we went through a lot of trauma at the committee, but eventually we had a hearing and he eventually resigned. And I think that much is part of the public record. But obviously we want to avoid a repetition of that. And I'm very glad to see that the point was made in the presentation that each candidate who is shortlisted will be vetted. But I'd just like to know, you know, how are we going to make sure that no candidate slips through the cracks, because we have seen candidates slip through the cracks before. So I'd just like to know, perhaps from the presenter, maybe the committee secretariat, what we are doing, how we beef up this process, and how has it been improved since previously. That's the first point I wanted to make. The second point I'd like to make is I think we need to agree on the number of candidates we're going to shortlist. That's quite important, I think, also from a statistical perspective, because obviously the more candidates we shortlist, the more time we need to schedule for the interviews. I think as a rule of thumb, it makes sense to me if we're going to be looking for 12 candidates, it probably makes sense to shortlist around 36 so that we take the best third, the best 33% of the candidates who we interview. But that's just a proposal. Thanks.
Honourable Teddy.
Chair, I don't have the problems with some of the issues that have been raised earlier in terms of the process. But let me just start by appreciating the interest that you have shown around this particular process that we are about to work on. There are very great, great people that are developing in serving in the board, in the interest of our people. Part of what some of the honourable members have indicated was the issue of the
Thank you very much. I think you have noted the, because there was a proposal on how many names should be shortlisted and interviewed. Honorable said it's also raising the same question. If you can clarify that one, Mum Tolash, Honorable Tolash.
No, Honorable Chairperson, number one, let's get that issue so that when we agree for an informed kind of decision, taking into consideration the suggestion that it has been put by the Honorable Member.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I didn't want to be prescriptive to the members, but however, our past experience has been that for every post, we interview 3 people. So I think Honorable Member was correct to say that the 3 cadet, so to speak. But it's 3 people can also, if we have 12, then it's 6. If the members agree, that's a proposal.
Okay. Honorable, before you, ma'am. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Noting that kind of history, but also what Honorable spoke about earlier on the interest that has been shown by the public in wanting to send to the board. Let's take that into consideration, but because of the number, if you can just put 40, because if you make that statement to a
thank you very much, Honorable Kalako.
No, Chair, I'm sure the, all of us will agree that we have 353 names, as it was said here. I agree with that proposal, that let's look around the 36 names. But I wanted just to add that we agree here that each member must be allowed maybe to look at come 12 names which you think they are best, and then we deliberate around that and we come up with the finality of that of the list.
Okay. Honorable Machel. All right. Oh, and the board sitting on the wrong side. Honorable Dozer.
Thanks, Chair.
I would hope that the chairperson communicated my property with the community. So I'm sorry for being late. I want to align myself with the proposal that we must not be overwhelmed by the quantities. From what I saw in the summary, a lot of literature will go out. We have to emphasize quality, and once we apply our treatment, we don't realize that we really don't have that much. So I'm comfortable with 36. The principle is that we have all the nominations. When we say 36, we're going to be interviewing 36 people. That is what we must think about. If at the end of the 36 we are not satisfied, I want us to adopt a principle that we don't have to restart the process. If we get out of 36, we find that we are satisfied with 10 people, and then we want to go into the pool that we already have to get either women or whatever, some other skills that we think must constitute the board. I think in principle, I'm not sure the legal application there. I remember that at some point we met that hurdle much later in the process. We shortlisted, then people came in front of us and there was an absolute disaster. So there was a question whether we don't have to restart, can we just go to the shortlist that we already have and then get more names and then compare and proceed with the interview. So I think that's the principle we must do. It doesn't mean it addresses the concern about the quantity. It doesn't mean when you're not shortlisted we'll close the process. It means at the end of the 36 if we are not satisfied, I propose. And we just go to the same pool and then we get people. Otherwise, 36 interviews complete. It's a lot. And I think we should take the position as the proceeding that way. And I wanted to also propose finally that we have to now do strict dates so that we meet our deadline. We agree on a schedule. I've looked at these documents. I'm not sure if there was a presentation of the schedule, but that's something that could help us because we had agreed initially on a schedule that I think it's not proper anymore because we'll meet about 2 weeks of this time. So we need a new schedule. Commit ourselves to meeting those deadlines and complete this process as quickly as possible without compromising quality.
Thank you very much. I think all of us accept the chief didn't speak. Anything on what we have discussed and on the presentation itself? That's Honorable Kungbel.
No, I think the approach is correct, and I support it in that sense. In terms of schedule, let's organize in a manner that ensures certainty. Sometimes quality at phase is not always easy. There are people who might hear, might have not completed whatever they have completed, but it is worth but their track record is such that you cannot ignore interviewing them. I thought it is important to make that process. All I'm saying is that process of interview are not very simple. You don't look at people and then just simply conclude that you think so all I'm saying is that I agree with the process. Thank you, Chair.
No, on the issue of the schedule, Honorable Ndlozi, Management Committee is meeting tomorrow, and then after that, we'll then bring back the schedule of interviews. Last week we lost time, so we need to revise our program. But I want to appeal to members, if Parliament rises and we are not done, simply approach Parliament and then we continue. Because if we can focus on this thing, finish it when the good interim board goes and then the others come in, I think we must not fail on that one. There must be no gap. There must be no delay caused by us as the committee. So I think it's agreed that members we go for 36. Agreed? I think all these figures were closer, so I think 36 is agreed. Honorable Teddy.
The schedule that has been presented with talks about some of the candidates who have nominated themselves. Most of the candidates I see here on the status of nomination is complete. So if you distinguish those who have shortlisted themselves and not quite complete, I thought the content advisor would as well guide the committee as to whether members, candidates can nominate themselves or not. If they can't, then especially in a situation where that self-nomination should not have been indicated then. Because once you put it like that, it suggests that the Broadcasting Act does not allow people to nominate themselves. So it's one issue that you might have to clarify. Otherwise, there's no reason for you to put it there. If that is what the Broadcasting Act allows candidates to. Secondly, there will obviously be candidates who, for one reason or the other, did not attach the necessary documentation as required by the agreement. I thought as well the Secretary would have indicated those who, through the process, have already removed themselves from the process by not attaching what was required as per the agreement. I don't see it again, or does it suggest that everyone should now qualify to go to the next level? Yes.
By the way, in our records today, there was no need to reflect incomplete. We can't come to this stage and reflect incomplete. Well, this is the final stage. 30th of June, everything should have been done so that today there is no incomplete. This is what you're saying. Another funder?
So all I'm saying is that we want to move with an assumption which says all people who are here, the 363, do qualify to go to the next stage. So I want to clarify them particular aspects if they have done the necessary verification to ensure that everything that was required after the admit has been attended by all the people that we need to do.
Let's allow this to be clarified. You see, I think this is what we must do. There must be no legal loophole. I think we must tighten up everything. And now, Mr. Condon Advisor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not okay alone. The team at the back, so I'd like to allow the committee secretary to explain the concerns.
Otherwise, we don't know.
No, no, it's a yeah, because he's right. I mean, if you can say it.
I can't share.
Please.
He's sharing the loop.
No.
I think it's in the non-share that we do share the loop.
No.
Straightforward.
No, let me allow you to proceed.
Yes, thank you. In terms of the list of the nominated people, Chair, the routine has been that we don't necessarily share this as, and we check if the nominations come in, the person has submitted all the qualifications, has been nominated, and so forth. So what happens is then, usually the system almost be shortlisted, and maybe there's a copy of ID, because it happens that sometimes people miss putting in a copy of a certified ID or some qualification. Mr. Ngoma, if they are shortlisted, we then request that they send those as evidence in terms of in terms of whether you know they are shortlisted or not. Then we request that there's a document that we simply send to us.
Yeah. Okay. I think this is acceptable.
Yes.
Honourable Van Dam, it's now your turn.
Thank you.
The self nomination.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the self nomination, the Act is quite not clear on this. It doesn't say that a person can be self appointed or not self appointed. And I think it's been the norm that we've had people who self appoint themselves in the past and we've gone through the process.
Okay. All right. On self-nomination, are you still there?
No.
Okay, let's finalize this thing because it's so important. This is so important, and if you take a decision, let me honorable Kumba.
Thank you, Chair. I think the attitude we should adopt is that it's not only the applicants who want to be here. We are also proactively recruiting persons. In other words, we want the board members. We want people to apply. We are looking for good people. So all I'm trying to say is that, to me, it makes no material difference that you self-nominated or you are nominated. What must count is your background, your track record. Do you qualify to be interviewed by us? What kind of people do you want? Well, sometimes you can be nominated here by someone who are sitting in the arm of the function. Maybe you happen to have a collaboration of the case achievement and then you nominate. So that demand is very material. That's the point.
Yeah. No, members, if I want us to do everything according to law. There is a Broadcasting Act here, so that we don't have people challenging. If it's not clear there, because I think we must read that. Because we must be guided by Broadcasting Act. But singahambe caleni kuyo. Was there trying to check? Did you get it? Okay, before you. So that put this thing to rest.
Yes, Chair. I think I did present it earlier.
Yes.
And it's on Section 13, number 2A, which says that non-executive members of the board must be appointed in a manner ensuring participation by the public in a nomination process. And that's why it stops. And I think it's up to the onus is on the committee to then decide, do they take self-nominations or not? And like I said, the precedent before, we've never really had a problem with people nominating themselves. So it could be the result of the committee that they don't want self-nomination. But the Act is quite clear. It just says public in a nomination process. So the nomination process could be yourself nominating yourself, or your sister nominating you, your brother or your cousin or your colleague.
Can we then agree? Can we then agree on that interpretation? It can be one can be nominated by Honorable Ndlozi, or I can nominate myself. Great. Honorable Tolashe.
I'm not sure I should be nominated here. Because for me it should be complete to say, as you are correctly explaining, that even an individual is part of that family.
Yes.
Let the individual go through a process so that the honorable member compare himself. If he meets what you want to look at as CVs and processes, let's just look at that.
Okay.
Don't put a lot of
obstacles
for ourselves. At least we will not
be undermining
the act in that way. That
will
be more
flexible. Okay. All right. Then we can come. I think we're done with this one. We agree. Honorable Fanda and Honorable Ndlozi.
Thank you, Chair. I want to discuss a different point. So in terms of that section, it says that there must be transparency and openness. So we agreed that the names of the shortest candidates will be published on Parliament's website. Can we also agree that it's not just their names, but also their CVs? So to give the public and the civil society something to vote on, not just names, but an actual CV.
I hope Nimame, the proposal is not only names to be published, but also the Honorable Kalato.
No, Chair, it's correct, it was just publishing names in the parliamentary website. It's not going to serve any purpose because it won't, people won't know those people except just CVs must go with names.
Thank you very much. I think it's now a decision.
Yes.
Publish everything. Honorable Van der Merwe, I'll come to you, Honorable Ndlozi. After
in the recent interviews, for example, for the CGE, we did publish the CV, but hopefully you'll publish it without the person's address and their cell phone number and their email address, because we need to protect their privacy. So, of course, it's important to have the name and the educational background, but not, you know, removing the part about the personal information like the ID number and the address, etc., which was the practice we did with the recent shortlisting for the Commission for Gender Equality.
That's a very good one. Thank you very much for that, Honourable Fundamer. Soon I expose the abandoned to abuse out there. Honourable Ndlozi?
Yeah.
I hope you are handling, because these are decisions that we're taking.
Yeah, yes. I might need this again, sir, if you forgive me or pardon me. I want to propose that we publish specific names for public comment. We need to give at least some form of a framework to the schedule. So maybe we must agree on for how long will the public be. I don't know whether it was agreed prior to my arrival. If there is, that's fine. Can I be advised what is that time so I can expose myself to it? And then I don't know also what is the decision regarding interviews being open, done in the open or public.
I agree on that one.
That is over.
Yeah.
My proposal is therefore that whatever happens, we must spend only 2 days on 36 candidates with 12 hours a day. 40 minutes maximum on each candidate. We start at 9. Can I finish?
You are protected.
Thank you very much. Start at 9 in the morning, we finish at 10 in the evening. It's an hour, 30 minutes lunch, we then do other breaks, 15 minutes
but we must try and do it if they are going to be open to the public and shorter space as possible. It's a bit unfair to, I don't think we'll finish 36 names in one day if we are doing them like this. But well, if the first candidate that goes won't be the same as the last candidate, we can't control that. But that's the game of public office. The previous President Mandela had a much more difficult job to go first than the ones that came after. The ones that came after understood the game better. We can't blame them. But my view is that if that's the case, 40 minutes,
yeah.
If we say 40 minutes of candidate as a maximum time, we can even be tough and say 30. But there's too many of us, I understand, there'll be other political parties. So 40 minutes maximum on one candidate. Then that will give us 2 days of 12-hour work a day, starting at 9 in the morning, finishing at 10 in the evening, with 1 hour break. And that can be distributed. That's my proposal. But can I be advised on the short thing there? How many days a week in the public to comment?
A week? We said a week, 5 days.
5 working days?
Yeah.
Oh, agreed.
Honourable member? Before that, I think the concrete proposal, because we are going to work out the concrete proposal is that of 40 minutes, because we are going to work out the program of the day. Not objecting on the 12 hours, but I think this thing of the basis of minutes, how many minutes, is quite important, so that we don't spend others, it can even be 20 minutes, but the maximum will be 40. I think members must agree on that. Are you on minutes?
Chair, on this point, I agree that we shouldn't do it over one day. I think that would be too short. But I don't agree that we'll be able to get through all 36 candidates in 2 days. Because in my view, we need at least an hour with each person. We want to make sure we get the best board that we can possibly get. So we need to give every member of this committee an opportunity to ask questions, and if necessary, to cross-examine the people that we're interviewing. I actually anticipate that some of the interviews might even go on for longer than 1 hour. I don't think this is something that we can rush. I think that the more time that we put in on each candidate, the better the board will be that comes out the other side. So I think we just need to be a little bit realistic about that. So I would propose that we do this over 4 days, that we spend 9 hours on each day and budget 1 hour per candidate. That would be my proposal.
That's a counter proposal on 40 minutes, now an hour. Honourable Dallas?
Yes. I think that's agree to say. Sometimes we tell candidates that you really winning it will be 2 months to take you to of course, the exclusion way will be something more than that. That's what the exclusion way. However, let's agree to say between 40 and an hour, let's make sure that so that you work not embarrassed to let the country receive the house in 20 minutes to speak with the country for an hour. So let's not be fast on time, but let's agree to say, let's take 3 days, let's not take more than an hour, but let's allow people to leave if they cannot deliver what they expect. So that we are not fast and say, Costan Fatali, our land. Or if you get a person, you want to hear more from the person because the 40 minutes is out there, the person must leave. So I want us to get into that kind of an understanding. That is not set in the past. But also, Chair, if we can agree to say the comment from the public must be processed so that it comes to us by the time we are sitting in interviews, we are aware of what the public is saying about the individual candidates. Quite important, so that there are not things that are going to come up later. There can be very genuine discussions from the public. There can be some discussions come in quite early for the committee, so that we are not being found wanting when we get to discuss about those. That would be my take on the chapter. Thank you.
Honorable Dozen.
Thank you.
From the same pocket.
No. I think, let's say this. As I understand, because I've done this a couple of times before,
okay.
And I must express the chairperson, like, with your undivided attention,
yeah.
There is a big problem of the administrative back office of this committee. And we keep developing more administrative tasks. We need the back office to up its game. We have to rely on the chair to rally these people. They must work. So the processing of those comments must reach to us on time. If they come today and we're expected to start interviews tomorrow, it's unfair. And that must, of course, be integrated in the schedule. So but normally, we develop some form of a prescript and allow ourselves additional, spontaneous, or whatever questions. If we don't structure it, it becomes wild and too unpredictable. And as a result, it will not be efficient and effective. The idea that we're not going to have a leeway, we need to ask intelligent questions, useful questions that allow us to get information in order to make up our decisions. So we need to limit ourselves so that we do the proper job, not necessarily so that we don't do the proper job. The reason why we oppose those limits is so that we actually come up with a qualitative interview and ask relevant questions that give us information to make up our minds. So I want to persuade the DA that maybe what we can do is, if the 2 days doesn't work, then we can extend. But an hour is too much. If we have a prescript, that's my view, if we have a prescript, members ask questions, and then we've got a follow-up question, so whatever question you can ask, doesn't have to be related, like we always do. 40 minutes is a lot. The president is given, this is not a public protector position. You know, it's board members. So you're given, we have your motivation letter, we have your CV, we have public comment. You get the first 5 minutes to speak and make whatever presentation you want. After that, we ask you questions. You know, 5 minutes of introduction, that's what happens normally. 5 minutes of introduction and then we interrogate you through questions. And at the end, people with still very concerned move. I think 40 days is adequate. Obviously, the process by the second day hasn't reached all those people, then we can extend. But I think it's not fair to have 4 days of interviews. Like if I'm a candidate in that process, I'll just be watching them. I know I'm coming on the 4th day. I'll just be watching and studying. That's too much time given to me to study. If we hadn't been in private, I would absolutely agree. But there's something unfair about extending it over if it is also happening in public. For some of the candidates that will come on the first 2 days or even on the 1st day. By the time I arrive on the 4th day, I'm used to you, I'm used to your style of questioning, I'm used to what are the possible things that will come from whatever corner. It's not fair for the people who started on the 1st day to those who started who come at the end. It's a bit, that's my only predicament with extending it for too long. But I agree with the principle that drives you towards that direction. But there has to be fairness in as much as there has to be quality. And that's why it depends on us, making the best out of the process. That's what I have to say in relation to this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kongbel, and then Honorable Ndam and the Mayor.
Chair, I think the case for 40 minutes is being strongly made. I don't think we'll be militarily rigid. about the candidate. It happened in interviews. When you do interviews, you can say in 1 hour the candidate, and just use that. But there will be a candidate because of the quality and material interest that you have in the interview. That allows you to go extra 5 to 10 minutes. But it's important to set a sensible time in terms of finishing things on time. Because even that public, I suspect by the third day or fourth day, they will not be interested. I remember when I was watching the public project, when you went to level 12, I felt, I'm not sure about that. What I'm saying is that it should be allowed in the material reasons why you go beyond 40 minutes. Two, also the issue of educational psychology, which I didn't know the member has, is actually well articulated. That's educational psychology. That it's critical that copycats and other things are managed in the process. Now, it therefore obligates members to ask sensible questions. You must know that that's not a chamber or a TPT. We're interviewing people for specific jobs. That's why I support the issue of guidelines, which are not restrictive. So that by the time people go to the interviews, they have a sense of quality, sensible, concise questions, or precise questions. So I said the case for 40 minutes, I think, is being made. But if I don't say at all cost, it will be 40 minutes. Now it needs a strict facilitation to make sure that you stick to the process.
Okay. Another panda?
Thanks, Jake. Every time Parliament appoints a really great interim board, things go well for a little while, and then the board is dropped every single time with the permanent board. As this committee, we cannot drop the board with the permanent board. We need to do this carefully. We need to make sure that we use as much time as we need. So I understand the Parliament of Jordan's point about 40 minutes. They're serving between 40 minutes and an hour. In addition, I think it's also important how to ask those questions. Because what we normally do is you go through the list, you go through the members of the committee, everyone asks one question, and then they're all thrown back at the person being the candidate being interviewed. Sometimes the person doesn't normally answer all those questions properly, so I suggest that in order to make sure that each member interviews the candidate properly, we'll be allowed to cross-examine the candidate. So each member is given between 3 and 5 minutes to ask their questions, to ask follow-ups in 1 minute. And in that way, we can properly get a feel of what each candidate is like, and then make the right decision.
Okay, another fundamental.
Chairperson, I also think that, you know, I've gone through this process before where we've appointed the SABC board, and I think you try and suggest that one can do it over 2 days, it's not feasible, because if you bring in the element of fairness, I also don't think that interviewing somebody at 8 o'clock in the morning versus interviewing somebody at 10 o'clock at night who might have been sitting outside for hours is fair. Because firstly, at 8 o'clock in the morning, members are still happy and fresh, but by 10 o'clock, people are tired and your questions might be, we've seen it before, you might be asking grumpy, people might be grumpy. It's late at night. You know, the element of fairness also comes in terms of whether you're interviewing somebody at 8 o'clock in the morning or whether that person appears before a portfolio committee at 10 o'clock at night. Those are considerations you have to take. So I think in terms of looking at a day, definitely 3 or 4 days, not 2 days, and I think one shouldn't limit yourself to a time frame, because I remember last time with interviews, there was a candidate who appeared before us, and when we asked him about a TV license, he had told us, and in fact he appears in this list again, he told us that his dog had his TV license, and that interview lasts 5 minutes. So you will obviously have people that you would want to spend more time with, which will take you over 45 minutes, and you'll have people that you'll eventually find once they tell you that the dog ate the TV license, that you might just be spending 5 minutes with them. But definitely more towards 3 or 5 days than 2 days, because I think it's not fair. You know, a candidate appearing before you at 8 o'clock versus at 10 o'clock at night will not have the same quality of interview. So that is my argument.
Another one, Bill, and then I'll come to
I
I want to promise members that that when we made this proposal, you know, we're treating off principles. So you have to help us and think of everything, not just one. In that way, I'm going to be able to be reached by the argument you make. If we want to be fresh when we make these interviews, if we want to spend quality time and all of that, we might have to change the element of them being public. Because that is my fundamental predicament. Somebody needs to make an argument to that. That I'm sitting at home, I'm coming on the fourth day, and I watch everybody being interrogated. That gives me an advantage. That is the predicament created by public interviews for people applying for the same job. These are not elections. This is a meritocratic process nonetheless. People have to qualify on the basis of how good they are meritocratically. It's not like us as politicians who do everything in the public that the EFF has only 4 minutes in a speaking time in Parliament. And the MP has an hour something, I don't know the proper time. When we debate, the MP has a form of 4 speakers. You get what I mean? That's because they got more votes, apparently that gives them more time. I don't know when is an argument more stronger because of its time and food physiology, but that's the idea. But it's an advantage that they have. These are candidates, these are human beings, these are not, you know, politicians like us. We want the best of the best to come and say, we don't want to come and break people here in this way. So I would argue that if you can persuade me that we can do this thing, like we started AIDS, finish at 4, so that we are always fresh, that every candidate we have is, you know, we are always fresh, and we are able to also do that publicly for 4 days, my argument. I'm willing to buy it. I like that. I don't want you to think otherwise. But I think it's unfair for the rest of the other people who would have gone first in that sense. Finally, I like this thing of cross-examination. And I want to affirm or align myself to that at the end, after the sort of, because what the framework of the questions we are saying that these are definitely questions that have to be asked. It doesn't matter how we feel, these people have to express themselves on this set of questions. But at the end, you must get an opportunity to sort of probe the person in a sense. So I think we don't call it that in that follow-up moment, or that last period of follow-up, it must work as a cross-examination for each member that would like to engage in that. So I'm fine with that proposal, because I've seen it work wonders. I'm just very uncomfortable with interviews of him.
Okay. Except that I'll have to rule on this one. I'll have to rule off. Because we can't discuss time for 30 minutes.
For 14, we can't discuss time for 14.
Yeah.
No,
no. I'm going to rule on this one.
Yeah, I want to suspend the rain and now.
Okay.
No, I'm bringing news.
Okay. Another color?
No, Chair, you can. You are ruling
on
all the proposals.
I think we've agreed on other proposals.
Yeah, no, we have agreed on the earlier one. But there's a very important new proposal now of cross-examination and minutes per member, which I want that to be incorporated. It's very important.
Okay.
Well, instead of, I ask, I'm given a chance to ask a candidate, after that, the school fairness and so on. By the time he or she answers, she has forgotten that. So when my 10, I must be given that 2 minutes follow-up or cross-examine, and then I'm called a member, so that I don't come back.
Okay. Can we let's decide on this one? Can we let the member ask questions and then follow up at the same time? I think that's what the proposal says, which is cross-examining. I think we agree on that one.
Yes, can I clarify, sir? Let me explain this. If say a memoir is given or we should ask questions, at what time is that follow-up taking place? Because are you saying if you are given 5 minutes to ask questions, is it within that 5 minutes? We must just be realistic in the manner we are handling it. So I think these are issues that must be tightened up. Because there are follow-ups, by the way, in a session like this, that can be clarified by the one who is facilitating. Give you an example. Somebody give a senseless answer. Sometimes it doesn't have the memo or question. We need clarification of that. The one who facilitates can assist. So it doesn't have to be done on the memo to clear issues. All I'm saying is that let me clarify. When I say follow-up, I say I'm going to ask a question, and an interview will respond, and then I'll do. Let's extend the logistics of that, so that we must agree on something that is doable.
Just when I compare my understanding, because we're going to give members minutes, it's not going to be an open-ended thing for you to ask questions. You'll do your follow-up within your question minutes. Okay? And that will happen immediately. When I'll be ready, and then I'll come to you.
Now, on the 1 hour, 14 minutes, I'll respect your reading. But I thought, what I'm going to do the other part, I thought earlier a minimum of a minute and a maximum of 40 was now appearing to be more costly. In that it was suggesting that surely 1 hour is too much. I thought that is what we were saying today. That those who were motivated along a principle of 14, a maximum of 14 minutes. And the other member says there might be instances where a candidate might even spend 5 minutes with him. So all I'm saying is that if a candidate has a lot of issues to tell us, at least that candidate must not go beyond 40 minutes. So that is now appearing to be more popular as the deliberate. But two issues, or two more issues on which that we need to look at. There are two categories of candidates according to this schedule. One category is the category of candidates who have submitted CVs. No self-nomination, and these candidates were not nominated at all, according to the schedule. You see, no nomination. My understanding is that person was not nominated and did not nominate himself or herself. We didn't take a decision on that.
How did they get here?
No,
my understanding is that person submitted ATV. Because it says no nomination. It means that there was no nomination from the candidate himself or herself, and this person was as well not nominated by any other. So my thinking as to whether we accept this a candidate or not, what do you think? Because this is what I'm saying. I don't want to start talking about names or numbers, but there are candidates who are said to have not been nominated.
Can I do this? Or not be fit?
Because
the fact that someone submitted a CV, nominated herself or himself.
Yeah, I'm raising this thing from the schedule because then this schedule is as well creating problems for us.
But didn't
you get and these things will not arise. Why would you want to say no nomination or no acceptance letter or whatever? Why would you want to indicate that? Because if a person has submitted a CV and you have already indicated it's a nomination on itself, then the statement must also tell us that this person submitted a CV without any nomination form.
Okay. Where there is no, you're saying it reflects what? No nomination?
Yeah, no nomination.
Where it says that, where it says that, we agreed that that person nominated himself.
Yes.
Forget about what is reflected here. Because we've taken a decision already that whether you have been nominated or you nominated yourself, accepted.
No, that's my last follow-up.
Yes.
You know why I'm insisting on this particular issue? You are distinguishing this category from the other category of people who have nominated themselves. In some, you are saying self-nomination. That one is another category. Mm-hmm. So that's my problem.
Okay.
So I'm saying it needs to be clarified from the category. Whether it's another category or whether it's the same as those who have nominated themselves. Why are you distinguishing this one from the self-nomination category? That's my problem.
Honorable Van Damme?
Thank you, Chair. We are currently engaged in what is called Sitting Hills. I don't think the issue on the whole thing is that we've dealt with it, we've moved on it. If someone has not submitted a good enough CV, if they shortlist it, we'll deal with it in the interview. So I don't think we must worry too much about tiny little details. I just wanted to talk about the point that Honorable Rosie raised earlier. About him talking about fairness and saying the person comes on day one will be, the person that comes on day one, the person comes on day four, there might be some disadvantage. I think all these people, in terms of the Broadcasting Act, want a broad set of skills. So it's broadcasting, media law, finance. So each candidate will come up with different skill sets. So if day one is someone with media law, we ask them things around media law. If it's day four and someone with finance, we ask them a different set of questions. So that is why also that we shouldn't limit ourselves to specific prescriptive questions. It should be just, as a committee asking our questions to each candidate based on their specific skill set. So I don't think there will be a disadvantage. I don't think people can prejudge what questions we're going to ask. Because also, in addition to us asking them about the Broadcasting Act, we'll also have research from civil society, we'll have our own in-depth research. So we might have stuff that's actually not in this interview to ask them about. We might find out things about, people who claim to have qualifications, and then we find out through our research that they don't. This is a question that we'll ask them during the interview session. So I'd say, let's take as much time as we need. Let's not limit ourselves to questions. And I don't think people will be disadvantaged because people are coming with different skills. And I hope I'm coming with you.
I was saying there must be some calculation. That is why you see me going up and down here. I was saying there must be calculation. Looking at 40 minutes on a 10-hour working day, and then looking at 1 hour on a 10-hour working day, because this is where I want to go. If you take an hour, you will do cut this thing. You will do 10 candidates a day.
Yes. It's 4 days.
If you take 1 hour, you'll take 10 candidates a day. Then it means You have 3 days plus.
Yes,
3.5 days. And then if you take 40 minutes, you will have 15 candidates a day. And it gives you?
2.5 days.
It gives you 2.5 days, which is like 3 days. Just for the satisfaction of everybody, let's go to 45 minutes maximum, and it will give us 3 days, 3 solid days. Can we settle on that one? And we talk 45 days, and the facility 45 minutes. And we took 45 minutes. And remember that Honorable Kungbela was saying the facilitator must also play a role in managing time.
Absolutely.
Because the facilitator can go beyond 45 minutes.
Yes.
If she so wishes, because of the environment.
Agreed.
Let's take these 3 days, comrades. Let's take these 3 days. Let's take these 3 days and look at 45 minutes maximum, depending on the facilitator. Agreed? We talk 3 days. Is there any other outstanding decision on your issues, comrades? Do we still want to engage further?
Yeah, I hope that to engage the consensus on that.
The what?
I
anything else?
What?
on the presentation, is there anything else? Yes, sir.
How we've beefed up our system to make sure that no qualifications forces through the cracks.
Well, once we finalize the shortlisting, immediately those people go for vetting. You are raising the issue of qualifications as per your experience. It's a direct question, that one. Temungosi?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as soon as the committee has shortlisted the 36 candidates, each candidate will be sent a qualification verification form that the candidate must fill in concerning to the committee conducting qualifications check, must fill it in, listing all the qualifications that he or she has, which is apart from what he or she has listed on the CV, this time we will be consenting that we verify those qualifications. So HR indicated that as soon as we have shortlisted, those forms will be sent to candidates, will be sent to Parliament, and will be sent to HR for qualification verification of all candidates. Thank you, Chair.
Does it cover your... because the minister... We can't call people without checking their qualifications, but also without being vetted. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify, will the vetting and the qualifications check be done by an independent body like SACRA or an equivalent body? Because I don't think that was done in the past, and that's where the problem came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, our human resources parliament has company contracted to each to assist in this instance. So currently parliament uses MAI, the company called MAI to do the qualification verification. Thank you, Chairperson.
What are these files? CVs. Can we get, because members, before they leave, they must have their their files.
The CDs?
Yes.
They arrived yesterday afternoon in our office.
Okay.
I have.
Do we have the CDs names? Yes. Are they ready?
I found the email.
Okay. That is answered. One of the guys money island was not when I didn't go to the office. If you don't have your CVs, just send the secretary to go collect. It's a box. It's two boxes, in fact. Okay. I think we're done with the process of how we are going to start with the nominations. I mean, with a shortlisting. Tell us what are we doing on Friday, because we are working on Friday.
Yes.
According to our program. Don't we have anything in our old program? I will show you what I have, because we have an old program that was adopted. What's going on? Is it only today?
Only today. Yeah, it was only today.
No. I know you can be quick to say it was only today.
Yeah,
I don't know if
anything
on Friday. Tell me, what's going on? Oh, here is the first. Friday is what? Friday is the 15th, and on the 18th. Friday is the 18th, deliberations on FPB, and shortlisting of candidates for ICASA. Are you saying that we must revise this program so that we don't have anything on Friday? Honorable Tolashe and Honorable Mendoza, I'll come to the revolution.
I know for a fact that shortlisting the FPP process, but we need not to see that program. If we can be told how we can make sure that we do get some time to keep it in the FPP beyond Friday.
Yeah.
If we
have a feedback on the FPP thing?
The FPP, the legal service runs with the document and present the document to present to the committee.
All I know, members, just that I don't know if members didn't receive this program. Honorable Mendoza.
So I have called this program. It is what I was referring to earlier when I said the last 2 weeks. Because we didn't do any work, has affected the program as we planned it. Now, again, I want to come to this point. We agreed a long time ago that this is what we are going to do. We only received the CDs of the SADC process. Even if there was no motion of no confidence, we would have never been able to stick to our program. Because we didn't receive documentation on time to do our work. You want us to search this on Friday, we still don't have the document for Friday still. So we can't, it's not, we are not available or anything. Before we come there, the back office of this committee needs to pick up its socks on a very serious thing with Chelsea. They need to push work, particularly because we agreed on the program of action a long time ago. So I don't know that you want us to sit for any shortlisting of any board by Friday, but we don't have content. We're going to come here and do that thing of process, what, and there's no shortlist that happened. Why? The administration is sleepy. It's wrong. Even we have been sabotaged, or we have been failed, even on our oversight. I think
one would have to start writing directly to the speaker if the situation is not improving on a very serious note.
Okay. I want to check, members, because I do have a problem here. I understand what you're talking about. There is a program that I have. I'm not sure if members did receive the program. Honorable Panda?
Sorry, Chair. Even that program, remember when that program was put before us, we had extensive discussions about how we were going to change it. We didn't receive an amended program after the deliberation. Do you remember we had some extensive deliberations? So I'm not even sure which program we're talking about, because we asked for that program to be amended and we agreed on certain things and we didn't receive an amended program. So if you're talking about a program, I'm not even sure which one you're talking about. So what I would say is that the Secretariat must draw up the program, taking into consideration the suggestions we made, and then on Tuesday or on Friday or whenever, table before us a new program, and then we can talk. Right now, I don't even know which program you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the third quarter program. Which reflects all these things that were the days of the interviews and all of that. But it's fine, members, if taking the point of the back office, of the support, which has been raised a long time ago, if we are not, if this program was not circulated after amendments, tomorrow we'll have to do that, as Menko, and then circulate. But what I want to check, let's forget about the CASA shortlisting, because we don't have CVs. But there is FPB that we discussed at some stage. We are FPB amendment bill, not CVs. Because it says deliberations on the films and publication amendment bill. That's the program that we discussed last time, and it was to be amended. I'm checking. Because we have scheduled Friday, can we look at the amended program on Friday as well as the amendment bill? Because Parliament is ready to present that to us. I just want the commitment. If we are not, then we must say so. Honourable Funder?
See, that's why I think raising the issue about the amendments we discussed the program. I remember there was a specific amendment to the program about the FPP amendment bill. I requested that because there have been so many changes, we want to see what the final version of, not the final version, right? It's the amended version of the bill looks like on paper. Because we have just had different amendments spoken about different sections, but we haven't seen the actual amendments in its entirety. So I requested that be given to us in advance. We'd be given time to go and sit down with our legal advisors to look at that bill in its entirety. So if I only get that bill tomorrow, Wednesday, and in 2 days I must give a considered opinion on that, that's not enough time for me. So that is why I say if we meet on Friday, it's just to discuss the amendment program. We can't discuss the FPP amendment bill. We need to be given that well in advance. We need to be given time to consider it carefully and then give our input.
All right. Honourable Dulles?
Chair, I agree with Honourable Panda. However, if sometimes the office can be given an opportunity whether they did send the program to the members or not, as you are taking into consideration all the complaints that the members are putting, if the center can just tell the committee whether in fact he did do his job, so that when we go back to all of the South issues, we go there with an informed kind of decision. Because we are making arrangements now out of frustration. Because Friday, some of us, we committed both got our programs from our office yesterday, and we had the impression that there was nothing that we should keep
doing.
And now we came to realize that there is something. But sometimes we might have missed reading the evening, if he can just tell us that whether he did in fact contribute to this, so that checkers in Israel are going back to all the law institutions and stuff.
Must be sure
of what they have, and he gets to understand the frustration that he's putting his colleague in by doing his job. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
You see, Chairperson, what I've been avoiding to say is that in the end, this is your job. We may want to, the Secretary of the Judge is not a member of Parliament. I mean, if there was an opportunity to put a motion of no confidence on him, I would have done it. We don't have to even vote secretly because the experiences of the administration of the committee are really painful. We appear seriously disorganized and we're going to make mistakes because we are not taken care of. But that part stops with you. That's why it's not all of us who are the chairperson of the committee. So it's either you rain heavy on them, or we must just be honest that it reflects on your own competence. So we must think twice. I mean, you should check properly before you come to the meeting with these people who are working for us. If everything is on scratch, resolutions that are taken have been communicated, all those things. Because we're having this conversation every time we meet, Chairperson. Okay. So I want to introduce that because I don't want to shock you next time I'm raising this question because I will no longer be speaking to the Secretary. It is you. You are the partner stop with you. You are literally the person that must take care of all that business ultimately, although they are supposed to support you in that regard. Okay.
No, thank you very much, members. I take the again, because it's not for the first time. I take the criticism as constructive. I don't think it's destructive. Because that's not the tradition of our organization to destroy a person. I take it as a constructive one, and maybe we'll have to check up. Because it's not for the first time, really, and it's not that I like it. I don't like it myself. But sometimes you can talk, you can't beat up people. You can only talk. You can't fire people there, because there is a difference. Except that these matters can be raised with the speaker and all that. If unamile, because you do things, let some say if unamile, and then you do them differently. So they are here. We'll have to see what to do. And thanks for raising it. Okay, I think it's clear that we cannot do anything on Friday. We can't come for the amended program. We'll have to reschedule or. We'll have to stick to our Tuesday and the other Friday. It's not a holiday. On Friday, we'll do other work, but thank you very much, members. I think let us apologize. You know, all CVs or nominations came on the 30th. And then there was never anything accepted after the 30th of June. And from the 1st of June, maybe the 5th of June, of July, this work should have started. It's exactly what I was raising at the management committee. That what have we been doing from the, let's say, the 5th of July until the time I was told CVs are not ready. Even if it's a nightmare administratively, but we had as the office the whole month. It talks to what the Honorable Dose is saying, the whole month. And by the time we met in Menco the other week, was it last week? The week before last. There was no ready CV copied and everything else. And unfortunately, you get what you are reported to. You just get the report and talk. The whip is there. He was in the meeting. So it's at a level where you will get these results all the time. Results of documents like that not available, work not done. And as I say, we'll have to do something tomorrow when we meet in the network. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't here when they did the presentation. I don't know what to do in this case. I hope you corrected that they received the summarized things on the 4th of August. We didn't. I mean, I have the email. We received them.
It's in which statement? That one?
This one that was presented. It says summary of the published CVs of nominated candidates was distributed to members of the Trinity on the Friday, 4th August 2017. Well, it means I went to the motion of nomination and read the things.
So the document.
It was on the 11th of August.
Not the 4th.
At 11:57 a.m.
Not the 4th.
The
document is wrong. It's 11.
They must correct it so that we have a proper
meeting.
I think we have closed this matter. Can I agree, Chair, that implicate ourselves in the last time we discussed it. I think this message must be said. Well, when this matter is being discussed, I don't like the gesture that I'm using from our administrators. And I think they must be very careful when serious matters about discussing the matter. Concern the gesture that you must reconsider. I'm saying, can we agree the last time? Well, this is my painful question. It's not a charity game. As my family will not require people, they have been paid for being here. So they must not use their lives and work for no purpose. And I'm saying, let's not come back and discuss. I mean, the 11 and 4. Anyway,
we'll never come back to discuss it, I assure you. We won't do that. I think what needs to be done now is action. When things are not done, we'll have to act. I can't listen to this again, because it doesn't sit well to me as a chair. Because, I mean, Honorable Dose is right. I mean, it's not the official, it's me, if things are not moving. And I think now things must be done. Thank you very much, members. Nothing on Friday. Do other things. We meet on Tuesday. You have your CVs. Work on them. Come back ready. We'll send. Let's do this before you leave. Can we, Honorable Kumba, can we agree that once we are done with the program of interviews, fit in those decisions that you have made, we'll send them to you. When we are done with the tweaking of the program, correcting it and redoing it, we'll send it, because we won't come back on Friday to look at it and endorse it. We'll send it, make your comments, and then we'll take it as done. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned. Oh, there is lunch. There is lunch outside. Is it lunch or tea? There is tea outside. Lunch at 1. Lunch at 1 at Mark Building, if you want to eat.
Yes, Mark and the tea now.
Yeah. Is it only on a speaking? It's coming to my incomplete.